The U.S. Marines have a longer wait for their F-35s. Boeing's 2010 airliner deliveries beat predictions. And Bell Helicopter consolidates subsidiaries. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, January 10th, 2011. An aging Boeing 727, operated by the state-owned Iran Air, went down last night in northwest Iran with 105 on board. Official sources are quoted in numerous media as saying the plane was on approach to the city of Uramaya following a flight from Tehran when the crew had to do a go-around in bad weather. The plane reportedly broke up in mid-air on the second landing attempt. As of our deadline, there were 60 passengers and 12 crew members reported dead, with the remaining 33 occupants in bad shape. Watch for updates today at aero-news.net. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates Thursday announced a series of decisions designed to save the Department of Defense more than $150 billion over the next 5 years. Among programs identified as troubled is the short takeoff and vertical landing, or STOVL, variant of the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, which just had its power plant cleared for entry into service. Gates placed the Marine Corps version on the equivalent of a 2-year probation because of significant testing problems. As a result, the development of the Marines variant will be moved to the back of the production sequence. To fill the gap created by the slip in the F-35 schedule, the Navy will buy more F-A-18s and extend the service life of 150 18s it already has. Gates observed, quote, "It's imperative for this department to eliminate wasteful, excessive, and unneeded spending. Indeed, to do everything we can to make every defense dollar count," unquote. Australia's acting Minister for Defense, Jason Clare, says he welcomes the restructure of the Joint Strike Fighter program, which will see an extension of the system design and development phase and a reduction in the production rate in the early batches of the aircraft. The U.S. will fund the costs associated with extended design and test activity. Australia is purchasing the conventional takeoff and landing version. That's the same one ordered by the U.S. Air Force. Gates confirmed Thursday that this variant is on schedule and proceeding satisfactorily, and that in 2010 it exceeded its flight test targets. Australian officials say the schedule tweaks will reduce their overall program risk and should not affect Australia's planned introduction date for the Joint Strike Fighter. Figures released Thursday by Boeing show the plane maker recorded 462 commercial airplane deliveries in 2010. That meets company guidance of about 460 deliveries during the year. The company also reports 530 net commercial orders for 2010 as air carriers transition from recovery to expansion. Boeing's total commercial backlog stands at 3,443. CEO Jim Albaugh had no trouble picking out a highlight. Quote, "With 376 deliveries in 2010, the next generation 737 set a company delivery record for the second consecutive year. The 737 is the industry's most in-demand airplane, with 486 net orders, as carriers continue to rely on its superior economics, versatility, and continuous performance enhancements," unquote. Find more details from the report in the text version of this story, dated January 8th, at aero-news.net. Bell Helicopter says it has restructured operations to provide customers with a comprehensive support solution, making it easier for them to do business with the company and increasing efficiencies. To translate, 6 subsidiaries providing service to owners and operators have been fully integrated into Bell Helicopter Textron Incorporated. They include Edwards & Associates and Aeronautical Accessories, both of Piney Flats, Tennessee, Rotor Blades Incorporated of Broussard, Louisiana, Acadian Composites of Lafayette, Louisiana, Bell Aerospace Services of Bedford, Texas, and U.S. Helicopter of Ozark, Alabama. All 6 were wholly owned subsidiaries of Bell last year. 5 of the 6 companies will change both legal and brand names to Bell Helicopter. Bell will continue to offer parts and accessories under the Aeronautical Accessories brand. Up next on ANN, the launch of Discovery gets pushed back again. NTSB is ready to go public with its findings on aircraft airbags. And small business travelers love Southwest. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, The gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 10th. I'm Paul Plagg. NASA managers are ready to further delay the launch of the Shuttle Discovery on mission STS-133. They'll meet to discuss it further this Thursday, but it appears a new launch date will have to be set beyond the close of the February 3rd through 10th span that was being targeted. Among the questions will be whether International Space Station on-orbit operations would allow a launch as early as February 24th. The agency reports continuing progress in understanding the probable cause of cracks discovered on Discovery's external fuel tank's midsection. Beyond simple repairs to stringers found to be cracked, modifications may be done to a total of 32 stringers. The National Transportation Safety Board will meet publicly to consider a safety study on the effectiveness of airbags in general aviation aircraft. The board initiated the study to examine effectiveness, identify any unintended consequences of airbag deployments, and develop procedures to assist investigators in documenting airbag systems in future investigations. During the course of the study, investigators became aware of several potential issues that could compromise occupant safety associated with the use, adjustment, and design of restraint systems. All of these findings will be presented tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time in the NTSB's Boardroom and Conference Center in Washington, D.C. A summary of the study, which will include its findings and safety recommendations, will appear on the NTSB website shortly after the conclusion of the meeting. The entire study will be posted in a few weeks. The American Small Business Travelers Alliance says it has conducted a survey which finds small business travelers are booking travel online, and many are utilizing other conveniences offered by airline websites. ASBTA says that Southwest Airlines is the airline of choice among those booking online. Convenience is a reason. Southwest and American Airlines allow customers to book car rentals, vacations, hotel stays, and other services directly through their websites. Alliance President Chuck Sharp adds, quote, "The best part is, this is only the beginning, and we should expect to see many more advances in the near future," unquote. Still ahead, the celebration of 100 years of U.S. naval aviation begins. Flight 1549 may finally make it to Charlotte. And dude, where's that drug test certificate? You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Pipersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, January 10th. I'm Paul Plagg. The 100th anniversary of Naval Aviation Foundation has announced its official centennial kickoff gala in honor of the Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard's 100th anniversary of flight. The occasion will be celebrated on Saturday, February 12th, on board the USS Midway Museum in San Diego, the birthplace of naval aviation. The star-studded invitee list includes significant contributors to naval aviation's past and present, foundation sponsors, elected officials, and leaders in naval aviation, both active duty and retired military. The kickoff gala is part of a week-long celebration in San Diego at a year-long celebration to follow across the United States. You can find out more on the web at navalaviation100.org. It's currently sitting in New Jersey, partially disassembled, but the Airbus A320 Captain Chesley Sullenberger ditched in the Hudson River in January of 2009 is expected to be heading to a museum in Charlotte, North Carolina. Charlotte was, after all, U.S. Airways Flight 1549's planned destination on the day of what became known as the Miracle on the Hudson. the Carolinas Aviation Museum is trying to finalize a deal to make the plane a permanent exhibit. Reuters reports it could take several months for the aircraft to be shipped to Charlotte and put back together. The planned exhibit will include other artifacts from the flight, including Sully's captain's uniform. He, of course, doesn't need it anymore. He's retired. The U.S. Air Force is still reviewing whether to discipline four pilots who participated in a pregame flyover before the November 20th Iowa-Ohio State football game in Iowa City. The Associated Press reports that jets were observed flying at an altitude that appeared to be only slightly higher than the press box and scoreboard, which is 137 feet. Air Force rules stipulate an altitude of 1,000 feet over the highest object in a populated area that's within 2,000 feet of the aircraft. The flyover involved four T-38C Talons, according to a December report in the Des Moines Register. The Air Force does make allowances for a waiver of the 1,000-foot rule, which lowers the floor to 500 feet, but says even that was not issued for this game. And finally today, the FAA has proposed a $330,000 civil penalty against HeliDudes LLC of Salt Lake City for allegedly operating sightseeing helicopter rides for hire when it was not authorized to do so. The company has 30 days to respond. The FAA alleges the company did not have an FAA operating certificate or letter of authorization when it conducted 30 sightseeing flights for hire between February 6th and 14th of last year using a Robinson R-22. The FAA denied two HeliDudes applications for a letter of authorization in January and March of last year. The agency says the first denial came after the company submitted the wrong employee drug testing certificate, and the second came following discovery of the unauthorized flights. Here's a free tip for better living. If your company is called Dudes, don't compound it by screwing up the drug test paperwork. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. It marks a real milestone among podcasts. It's our episode 4000. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves suggests New Year's resolutions work better when we consider the consequences of failure. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.